How's it going, everybody? My name's Greg Knox, and these are the worst date movies ever. It's January 2019, and what I thought I'd do on the show today is do something a little bit different. I've never really done it on a show like this before, is to talk about short films. Now, to discuss short films with me is my short film expert. It's Mr. Tom Cannon.
Hello, Greg. I've never been called an expert in anything before, so thank you for that.
That's all right, mate. And for those of you who haven't done so already, you can listen to all eight of my previous shows on iTunes or on YouTube or on Spotify. And yeah, please check those out. Okay, so short films are quite an interesting little thing. There's different ways you can do a short film, which, as I say, is why I've got you on the show. Now, the film we're going to talk about on the show today is The ABCs of Death.
Yeah, as you said, different ways to do short films, and this one is very much about packing them in, quantity in this case.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. So the concept of the film, for those of you who don't know already, and by the way, we're going to be spoiling this quite a fair bit, so just be mindful of that. And there's a couple of the short stories there will be sort of upsetting content, so if you're likely to be offended, please look away now, as they say. So 26 short films, that's quite a lot.
It is, and with the best will in the world, the quality varies greatly between those 26 films.
Which it would do, obviously. I mean, even when you do an anthology film with maybe four or five short stories, there's a huge disparity between maybe the best and the worst. I think in this, it's even more jarring.
Yeah, I mean, I like the concept of behind it, which from what I understand is that 26 directors were contacted and they each either chose a letter or were given a letter. I think it might have been the latter. And then they have to come up with a story about death that relates to the letter that they've got. And it's really interesting to see all the different varied directions that people go in, the different directors went in. Some kind of are quite obvious based on the letter they've got. Others, I don't know. Some, I don't know what's going on in certain people's heads, but obviously we'll get to that a bit later.
Cool. So, Tom, why do you like short films so much? Because I've brought you on the Lament Configuration a couple of times when we've done our Fright Fest episodes because you love short films. So what is about them that you like so much?
Yeah, I think it was actually Fright Fest that kind of got me into short films, especially horror-based short films. I think the first year that I went to Fright Fest, which was 2000 and whenever that was, you know, I can't remember now, a while ago, let's say, I went to see the short film showcase. I'd never really been exposed to short films on like a large scale before, especially not in a cinema like that, watching them on the big screen. And from the beginning, kind of watching 15 or 20 of them in one go, I just really liked the concept that whether you like the one you're watching now or you don't like the one you're watching now, there's another one just around the corner for you to listen to, or sorry, to watch. And, you know, it might be even better than the one you're watching now. And the ability to build such a narrative into a short space of time, I think it's an amazing skill. If you can nail the short film, then I think that's like a really great talent to have.
Okay, so that kind of leads on to my next question quite nicely. So what, in your opinion, is nailing a short film?
Okay, that's a good question. Nailing a short film, for me, I guess, is... Yeah, tell you what, the ultimate distinction that I would give to a short film, I'm sure people maybe would disagree with this, but for me personally, as a short film, a horror one, if I finish watching that short film, whether it was 5 minutes long or 2 minutes long or however, and I think, oh, I want to know more about that world that you've created. I could imagine that as a longer film. I want to know more about the characters. I want to know more about the story and the directions it could take me in. If that happens at the end of the short film, for me personally, I think, yes, that's a great short film.
Cool, and we'll go into which ones that we thought would qualify as a good short film in a second. Now, as you said, it's 26 short films. The one thing that I found is that it's way too long. It's like basically 2 hours of short films. By about the 20 mark, I was really, really flagging.
Yes. I don't think anyone can really handle that amount of different films in one go. What we're talking about, 2 hours of you're just getting into one and then suddenly it stopped and then we're on to the next one and you might absolutely hate the next one. Then you've got to sit through that and then you wait for the next one and that the next one might be mediocre. And then so you've gone from really enjoying something to like hating the next 10 minutes and then it's hard to pull it back again into a good one. You just get back into a good one and then that stopped again. It's all over. That it's like a roller coaster of emotion.
Yeah, and what I found is with the format, they can't really pick kind of which ones go in the best order. They're kind of stuck with what they have to deal with. So for example, I noticed like A, B, C are all quite similar. And then there were a few silly ones right after each other, and there were a few weird ones right after each other. It's quite jarring in the different tones and the different moods as well. I'm pretty sure... I know they did try and control it a little bit, because some of them, they changed which letter of the alphabet it was. So I read up that Z, which is a weird kind of Japanese short, that was originally going to be titled Arthur Rice, which makes more sense when you watch it. But, yeah, it's just really weird because some of them are quite serious and quite grounded and you got some that are really silly. And, yeah, it's just, like I said, I just found it quite jarring.
Yeah, very much so. And you brought up a good point about the names. They reveal the name of the short at the end of it. So part of the fun of watching this is that you're watching it and thinking, well, I know it's like the letter F, for example, but for the life of me, I can't work out what letter or what word beginning with F
this film. I think F was one of the more obvious ones, to be honest.
Which one's that one?
Would be F for fart.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was a bad choice.
But like H, for example. So H is H for hydroelectric diffusion.
Yes, I wouldn't have got that one in a million years.
If your life depended on it, you'd be a dead man right now.
I would be, yeah.
It's just so ridiculous. And some of them, like you say, are fairly obvious. But yeah, a lot of them are just really weird. So I for ingrown. Now, I actually quite like that short, but I for ingrown indicates it's about like an evil toenail or something like that, and that is in no way what it's about whatsoever.
Yeah, there's a few stretches with the... Sometimes, for some of them, like N for nuptials, for example.
Yeah.
I feel like they'd got the idea of the story first and then tried to pigeonhole the letter into it afterwards. Yeah, because that wasn't really clicking with me in terms of what it was all about or why they had to use that letter kind of thing.
Yeah, now it's quite interesting. So this came out in 2011 or 2012, and I thought it was cute. Like, what I tried to do is for the show is try and think about sort of different themes that maybe came up more than once. And interestingly, toilets.
Yes.
To be fairly common. There's at least two, possibly more, no, three, I can think of right off the top of my head, where a toilet is a very important part of the short.
Yeah, were toilets like a big talking point back in 2011?
Yeah, or maybe it just kind of shows, oh shit, I have to make a film for $5,000 and it has to be really short. Ooh, I know, I'll use a toilet.
Yeah, what's the smallest room in my house? Oh, that one, I don't know, we can film in there, it'll be easier.
But interestingly, like the animated ones involve toilets, where you think like with animation maybe you have a bit more creative freedom with what you can do because it doesn't have to be like grounded to a single location. They still chose toilets. Now, one of those I really liked,
would that be tea?
Yes, I really liked that one. But yeah, it's still, I found it quite curious that toilets came up multiple times, and also bodily functions
a lot.
Like, yeah. Gross out humour type stuff. So we already mentioned F for fart. The fecal matter does come up multiple times.
Jizz.
Or jism. Yep, jism's quite prominent as well.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if this was made now, in 2019, I'm sure the tone would be very different.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually. It would be probably a lot more serious. Because there was ones that I didn't really like, and I'm going to maybe go into this a bit more later on. But Japanese entries were particularly bad. I thought.
Yes, I was thinking about this while we were watching them. And for me personally, I think Japanese films, of the ones that I've seen, and of course, bearing in mind that living in the UK, I only really get a kind of a selection of Japanese films that I can easily find, whether that be on Netflix or on TV or whatever. So usually if you're watching films from another country, the ones that make it over to the UK are going to probably be of the best quality, or at least the most controversial, or there's something about them that, you know, has a mainstream appeal, so to speak. So I think Japanese films can be awesome. Like, you know, I could name you 10 amazing Japanese films off the top of my head. But in my small experience of low budget Japanese films, like the kind of straight to Amazon Prime-esque level ones, they can be really, really bad.
And like the sense of humour in them is sort of quite juvenile, especially, well, the ones in this were anyway. So yeah, so we already got F for fart, J for Jidaigeki, have you say that word, Jidaigeki.
Samurai.
Yeah, samurai. And Jidaigeki is a really awesome type of film. So like Akira Kurosawa, for example, that's a type of film that he popularized. And yet I didn't really like that one. And the last film, so the Z for whatever the fuck it was some Japanese word that begins with Z.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I think they said it was, they said the translation was Extinction.
Yeah, Arthur Rice is at least a bit more memorable. But yeah, even that's a director of like Tokyo Gore Police. And it's just a bit of a shame to see how far downhill Japanese horror films have come over like the last 10 years, considering like you had Ring, you had Audition, you had Dark Water and The Grudge and films like that, like 15 years ago or whatever. And now, I mean, One Cut of the Dead came out last year and that was really good. But even in One Cut of the Dead, even though I really like the film, there's a lot of humour in that, which is just really shit and juvenile and not really my type of humour at all. It's just not funny to me.
Hmm.
So I don't know if it's just a cultural thing that they just find shitting funny or farting.
You bring up Ring, you bring up The Grudge, things like that. There's a style to those. There's an ominous tone to those. There's a overall sort of very high quality to those that certainly was not in any of these Japanese films. I would say, without having seen the list of like where all the different countries were, where these films came from, as a whole, Japan, you're at the bottom of the list for ABCs of Death. Three shittens.
Yes, it literally shittens.
Yeah.
In one case. Okay, and this is just one last thing before we kind of go into which films that we kind of like the most. What I noticed is a lot of the short films that I preferred didn't have any dialogue in at all. So it was a lot more visual storytelling and stuff like that. Whereas if you're trying to use a lot of dialogue, there's a couple of them in particular that had really shit dialogue and really shit acting, which really stood out. I think in definitely, I say, the better ones that I'm going to go into in a minute, it just, I just found it quite jarring. Because I think there's a lot more you can do. If you've only got like 3 minutes, you don't need dialogue. You can have dialogue if it's all right. Like Tea for Toilet, for example, I already mentioned that one. That had dialogue, but that worked quite well. It sort of was quite natural. Whereas the short before it had that very kind of jarring American acty dialogue, which was just, I just thought it was a bit shit, really.
Yeah, I suppose if you've also got a very low budget, don't even bother wasting ink on dialogue. You could make your budget stretch a lot more by focusing on the visuals and the music than, absolutely right, than having crap dialogue.
Yeah, now, interesting segue. So I want to start talking about which shorts that we liked. From what I've read online and having spoken to you, the most well-received, and interestingly, a film with no dialogue in it at all, and music, it's very music video-esque, is D for Dogfight.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's directed by Marcel Sarmiento, who is a co-director of Dead Girl, which I've not seen yet, but I might have to watch it for this series. And now, what was it about that one that stood out?
It did exactly what I was saying at the beginning. It managed to build a world, set a tone, you understood all the characters, kind of you understood what was going on through very subtle means, as you said, no dialogue, but great use of visuals, great use of music, great use of sound. It kind of kept you on the edge of your seat. You weren't quite sure what was going to happen. It had a satisfying ending and a payoff. It was just everything you'd want in, like, I think it was about 5 minutes. It was everything you'd want in a 5 minute film.
Yeah, I mean, tying into like your earlier point, I think one of the things a good short film will have is it's literally immediately obvious what's going on. Like, you don't have to have any exposition. It should be immediate, straight away, what's happening. And this is one of those. And it actually even works quite well because you don't even see the dog straight away. All you see is it's set in some kind of underground fight club type thing. It's a guy, he's with his trainer, you know, he's going to go out for a fight. And then, oh, he's fighting a dog.
Yes. So,
and, yeah, go on.
Sorry. I was just going to say, yeah, it plays with your expectations from the beginning. Yeah, I'm thinking, is it a bare knuckle fight ring or something like a fight club type thing?
Then you, pit fighter.
Pit fight, if only. P for pit fighter. Better than the one that it was for P, I would say. Anyway, so, yeah, it's playing with all of these things, all of these preconceived notions. Then when you see the dog, you're thinking, oh my God, he's going to fight a dog. And then when that starts, things don't quite happen in the way that you think. So it's always changing, and you don't feel settled at all during watching that, but you're kind of wanting to know what happens next.
Yeah, and it's quite a visceral film as well. So yes, it's a fight between a man and a dog. I imagine, well, obviously, you know, it's not Cannibal Holocaust. Obviously, the dog, I'm imagining, isn't really getting hit. I'm assuming there's a way that they're working around that particular problem, but...
got a working dog. That dog can, you know, it knows how to roll with the punches.
Yeah, it can take punches, like take some stiff shots here and there. I think how they did it is the guy who's playing the fighter is actually the dog trainer.
Ah, okay.
So I think that's how they got around it, because obviously the dog's going to be more comfortable like biting the trainer. He's going to know how to handle it and stuff like that. And yeah, I just thought it was really good. Obviously, I wasn't aware of the time passing or anything like that. It kept you engaged all the way through. It's a great use of sound, like with music. It's very music video-esque, like I said.
Yeah, very much so. Did leave me wondering, though. He was really pounding on that dog at one point, rights and left and rights and left. Could a dog really withstand that many? I mean, that dog looked particularly cute, I'd have to say. it didn't look like a killer. You just wanted to give it a big hug. He was battering that dog around.
Yeah, although, well, I mean, the dog clearly would have been taken from its owner, who we find out who the owner is, kind of at the end of the film. And then, yeah, it would have been taken. It would have been treated in a way to make it want to attack people and stuff like that. So it doesn't really matter what breed it is as such, although I can't imagine like a little chihuahua being a very good fighting dog, to be honest.
That would be like level one if this was a Mega Drive game. You'd start with a chihuahua and build your way up from there.
Yeah. Now, I already mentioned it. I really like this one. It's T for Toilet, which is claymation, which is quite interesting because it's only, I think, this, like I said, they only had $5,000 to work with in how they got around it. Now, the director's a guy called Lee Hardcastle, who I'd never heard of before. But apparently, from looking through his filmography, he's made, like, claymation parodies of, like, famous horror films, particularly The Thing. So he's made a claymation of Pingu, if Pingu was in The Thing or something like that.
Ah, I want to see that.
Yeah, it looks awesome. And yeah, it's about a boy who's scared of the toilet.
Incidentally, I don't know if you saw this in your research, but didn't this film win a competition?
Yeah, now it's weird seeing kind of how shit a lot of the entries are, that this one to me is like one of the best ones. And this guy had to win a prize to get his short film included in this, which is, I don't know, it's quite galling to me.
Maybe they were just backlogged with loads of Japanese fart films and they just couldn't work out which ones to go for.
Yeah, and T is quite a common letter. I imagine T would have been quite popular.
Yeah.
But yeah, as I say, I really liked it. What I liked about it is, yeah, it's low budget and it's not the greatest kind of claymation in the world, but it does have a certain charm to it. Like I mentioned on the last show on Evil Dead, how I like the claymation that's used in that, and it's not like massively, massively polished or anything like that. But, and also I think the guy's northern, because all the voices in the film are northern as well. And it's sort of got this blackly comedic undertone, like Viz-like.
Yeah, it's the northern charm. It's funny to see that in amongst the rest of them.
Yeah, it feels very, very British. So maybe because of that, I did find it really... It really appealed to me, particularly because it came after a few kind of less good ones. So it kind of stood out for that. And it is really funny. And it's very, very gory as well.
Yeah, it's great, actually. I've never seen a claymation quite like that. So you certainly didn't get that in Pingu.
Oh, that would be awesome, actually. Wah, wah.
No, no, no.
Oh, dear. Now, Key for Quack.
Very meta.
What did you think of that one?
I want to say that perhaps it... I kind of want to like it because I thought it was quite funny to an extent, but also at the same time, it was a little bit too meta and it was a little bit too insider and, oh, you know, trying too hard to be cool and different.
So if you had Q, what would you have done instead?
Oh,
put you on the spot.
that is putting me on the spot. Q for... quarry, there you go, about a quarry, and there's a digger and it's been possessed by a man who died working in the quarry, and now it goes around crushing people with its digger arm. Or
so it's like Christine.
It is, exactly.
Or Maxim Overdrive.
Oh, and see, I love that film, so that's probably one of the reasons why that jumped into my head.
And you didn't have to go on a massive Coke binge to like think of that idea. No, that came all to yourself.
I want PayPal me $5,000 and I'll make it for you.
I would actually quite like to see that. So yeah, if anyone out there actually works in the industry who wants to give Tom $5,000 to make his like evil digger film set in a quarry, yeah, please do. I thought it was quite an interesting idea. It stood out from all the others. It's not the only film which is meta. WTF was meta as well. But with that one, that was a bit more kind of crazy. Like, literally, they were just throwing shit against the wall and just like, whatever happens, happens. Whereas with this one, I think it was quite consciously kind of meta and quirky. So yeah, this one is by Adam Wingard and his regular writer, Simon Barrett. And they've done Your Next and The Guest, films like that. So I think he's actually the most famous director in this.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, him.
Or at least now.
Or Ty West.
Ty West would have been quite well known at this point as well, and Ben Wheatley.
Mm.
But I think nowadays, I think Adam Wingard is the most well known because he's doing King Kong versus Godzilla.
Oh, okay,
that's
right.
That's his next one. Proper sold out.
Yes.
And he did Death Note as well, which liked.
I quite like. Yeah, well, I liked the anime, so I kind of had a soft spot for that. Look forward to King Kong versus Godzilla. I wonder if there'll be any ducks in that one.
There's a throwback for the fans of this film.
Of ABCs of Death, yeah.
I thought it was pretty good. I mean, it's not really a horror film as such.
No.
But... as I said, I think what they tried to do is they tried to make good of the crappy hand that they were dealt.
Yes.
As such.
Actually, that's something you bring up interestingly. It's not a horror film. I'm trying to think, have I actually ever seen a horror short that I would actually classify as properly scary? Because that's really difficult to do. There's one thing to be able to make a good 5-minute short film, you know, with a good story and all of this type of thing. But to actually then, on top of that, build up enough tension to make it scary, nothing comes to mind off the top of my head, actually.
Yeah, it's really, really hard. I suppose the closest thing I've seen would be something really, really sort of animated or maybe sort of with really scary visuals. In it, but it is very hard.
You'd have to probably go down the jump scare route, wouldn't you?
Which is a bit lazy.
Yeah.
But no, I agree with you. What did you think about... So, mentioned Ben Wheatley is in this. So, here, after T for Toilet is U for Unearthed.
Yes, now that was one of my favourite ones. That was a little bit of an all-star cast, really.
Yeah.
And I really liked the style there. So, that's kind of almost like a GoPro-esque style where it's filmed from the first person. In this case, I assume it was a sort of a vampire or something.
Yeah, I think it's meant to be a vampire, yeah.
Yes, being hunted by a group of British men, including a priest and just blokes wearing wellies.
Yeah, or some kind of country gentleman.
Yes.
I think is what they're meant to be. I assume he must have done this when he was filming Kill List, because it looks very similar, like Forrest.
Yes.
It's got Neil Maskell in it. It's got Michael Smiley in it. So, I imagine he must have done it at that point.
Probably. Yeah, I really liked that. Again, that's what I was talking about. It really built the atmosphere up. You knew what was going on and it was very well acted. And I really liked that, actually. I'd like to have known more. That's one of those ones that I'd have liked to have seen more of that.
Yeah. Now, I mean, how do you feel about that, actually? So some of them were very obvious and had resolution. I know feature-length films, you like your films to have resolution, don't you?
I do.
But with a short film, is it good to not necessarily have all the answers?
I think with a short film, absolutely the opposite to a full-length film. For me personally, the reason why I like full-length films to have some form of resolution is I've invested an hour and a half, 2 hours, maybe even longer, watching this film. And I want to see what the directors and the writers vision and their ending is. And sometimes, not always, I feel like having a very open ending where it's always, oh well, you decide, it's up to you to decide what happens, I find that sometimes very lazy. And it's like, well, how much of this is you just wanting to do this, and how much is it sort of almost I've painted myself into a corner, so I'm just going to give you, you know, all you decide, it's up to you, wink, wink.
Which got you in a lot of trouble at FrightFest.
It did.
In 2014, I remember, with the director of Alleluia, Fabrice de Witts, because they did a Q&A afterwards. They don't really do Q&As at FrightFest anymore. But they were doing a Q&A, and if you asked a question, you would win a poster of the film. And you asked the director about his ending.
That's right.
I don't think he appreciated the question.
Still got the poster, though. So who's the real winner?
Who's the real loser in this? Yeah,
exactly.
Yes. Are there any that you liked that I haven't mentioned?
Let's have a look. I made a list of
not
all the different...
Not making this all about me, even though it's my show.
I made a list of all of them. Ones that stand out apart from the ones we've mentioned. I quite liked A. That was kind of interesting.
It's the first one, isn't it, I suppose? So that's kind of your baseline.
Woman murders her husband. She basically explains to him as he's dying that, oh, I've been poisoning you for the last year or two, and you know, you were meant to just die slowly, but I've just been listening to the news and I've got to speed things up now. And just as she kills him, essentially there's like some sort of apocalypse and everybody dies.
Hence the name.
Yes. A for Apocalypse. Yep. So that one, that kind of stood out. Got to talk about L for Libido.
Yeah.
I mean, that's nuts, that one.
Yeah, so I was going to say this, but hey, fuck it. We may as well go into it now. So this is the worst date news ever, everybody. And I have to look at it from angle of kind of, well, why might not this be a very good date movie? And this short really is the worst date movie short of all 26, really.
Maybe apart from M, which we could get
to in a bit. We'll go into, kind of follows naturally. Yeah. So this is directed by, and I'm going to fuck this guy's name up, so I apologize, Timo Tihanto, believe is how you pronounce the guy's name. Now, he is quite well known now. He had two horror films come out in 2018 on Netflix, actually. One's called The Night Comes For Us, which is like The Raid. It even has a lot of people from The Raid in it. And a film that's quite similar to The Evil Dead called May the Devil Take You. And he also directed the best short, in my opinion, in the VHS series.
Which one was that
one? So that was... Oh, fuck. What's it called? It's the one which is Ty, which is a cult.
Oh,
him
yes.
and Gareth Evans,
yes.
the guy who directed The Raid, did it.
Yeah, I like that. And that's kind of a very similar feel to this one, actually.
Yeah. So the story of this one is you've got two guys tied to a chair, and this naked woman turns up, and it's stage one. And essentially, you both have to masturbate, and whoever doesn't come gets killed.
Yeah, basically. And there are people in masks watching. This is some sort of entertainment for them.
Yeah, which brings to mind sort of 13 Samiti.
Yes, very similar.
It's basically like people pay lots of money, like hostel type thing. People probably paying lots of money for their amusement. These people sort of degrading themselves, which there is a lot of kind of real debased shit that happens in this. Which warning you now, including a woman who's like an amputee masturbating with a prosthetic leg.
Yeah, and the worst bit. They have a child, basically a man rapes a child. And throughout all of these experiences, the two men who are tied to the chair are expected to masturbate. And whoever can't do it to completion, they die.
Yeah, so the main character, he's obviously still there at this point. And the guy who's now in the other chair is like some kind of paedophile or something who clearly gets off on this young boy being fucked, basically. There isn't really any other way I can put it, unfortunately. That is what happens. Now, obviously, you don't see it, but that is what is going on.
Yes.
It's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
And then he gets killed with a chainsaw right at the end.
Yeah. So,
as well.
Certainly a memorable one.
Very memorable. It's hard to forget, definitely. I mean, I really liked it because it's one of those where you can't really take your eyes off it when it's going on.
Yeah. But
other people's opinions may differ.
I agree. It was certainly imaginative. Let's put it that way. They made the most out of the letter that they got. And that was one of those ones where I'm watching it, and as it's going on, I'm thinking, what in the hell has this got to do with the letter L?
Which, brings us on to one that you wanted to talk about, is M for Miscarriage.
Now that's
directed by Ty West.
Quite infamous for us personally. I just remember this. I get this one. This one reminds me of a film that I watched, Short Film Showcase, at Fright Fest. Well, we both watched it.
Yeah, we were both there.
A woman... She had an abortion. She gave herself an abortion, basically.
Yeah, so again, this is going to trigger some people. Sorry. Basically, there was a short film. It was a French film. It was quite artistically done. There was voiceover going on all throughout it. And essentially, what was happening was there was a woman, and she was giving herself an abortion using a coat hanger.
Yes. Now, I have to admit, I watched most of that film through my eyes closed because I could see what was coming with that. But clearly someone else didn't, because in a few rows in front of us while we were watching it, they had an epileptic fit.
Yeah, which was more scary than the film.
Yeah, well, yes. Now, this one's not quite as extreme as that, but I suppose it was... Would you say it was humorous?
I was going to save this till the end, but I may as well, fuck it, just say it now. This one kind of disappointed me the most, considering who the director was. So it's Ty West. He's clearly a very talented guy. And essentially, the story is there's a woman. She's on the toilet. Again, another toilet-based film.
Yeah.
And there's something blocking the toilet. And so she goes to get a plunger, and it turns out it's like a fetus.
Yes,
it's been aborted.
That's why
the film's called M for Miscarriage. And that's it.
That is it. It feels like a real one note. Oh, I've just come up with this idea. Yeah, we'll just go with that.
It's like a minute long,
yeah.
If that.
I didn't like it at all.
No, it's just very kind of lazy. Like, there are some others that I didn't like, but at least the people who made those at least went to some kind of effort.
Yeah.
So, Ty West, shame on you.
Ty West, it feels like he did what a lot of people did when they're at school. He had 2 months to do this. Then he got to the last day before he had to submit his ABCs of death film. And he was like, oh, shit, I don't know, M for Miscarriage. And just filmed something really quickly on a Sunday afternoon and just sent it in. And that was it.
Yeah, it's definitely like a filmed in one day job. Absolutely. I don't know if you like this necessarily, because I'm huge fans of the directors. O for Orgasm.
Yeah, that was interesting, that one. I got a sense. I thought you would like it, if nothing else, because while I was watching it, I got a sense of there was a jally aspect to
yes.
it. Yes, and a real use of colour.
Yes. Now, there's you don't really know anything about the directors, so no. It's quite interesting that you pick that up because, yeah, it's directed by Bruno Forzani and Helena Cattett, who directed A Mare and a film that I really like called The Strange Colour of Your Body's Tears. And those two films, they're not directly redoing giallo. It's not literal. What they're doing is they're taking tropes from giallo and kind of doing something completely different and artistic with them is really the best way to do it. And I really like their style. They have a very unique style that's very kind of individual to them. So they use a lot of close-ups. The film's very, very, very heavily stylized. Definitely. There are lots of close-ups. Editing can be quite quick, almost as if like it's photographs.
Yeah.
And they use a lot of close-ups on objects, so a burning cigarette or bubbles in this case. And they love using giallo motifs, so like black gloves is a very typical giallo motif. And yeah, like you said, they use the blue, green and red lighting, which is, you know, reminiscent of Argento or Mario Bava.
It looked great.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It won't be for everyone's cup of tea, and I totally appreciate that, but I really liked it. It did stand out quite a bit to me.
What's interesting is thinking about all these different films, there weren't a lot of popular tropes that you would generally find in horror films. Like, for example, there were no haunted house type films. There were no zombie films.
No slashers.
There really. Were no slashers. There were, yeah, no, there was very few found footage, really. If there was like one. Really, one that sticks out. It's kind of a lot more experimental with the ideas behind things, which I think partially is because a lot of it wouldn't work if it was put into a full-length film. You can experiment a bit more if you've only got 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like so with something like a slasher, you would need time to kind of develop the characters as much character develop as you do get in a slasher, at least in the better ones anyway. So yeah, I agree with that absolutely. Are there any others that I've or you have not mentioned?
Because
there's one that I quite liked.
G for Gravity was kind of interesting. It took me a while to work out what that was all about. That was like a shot first person as well, actually.
Yeah, so that one, it's a guy essentially goes to the sea and drowns himself.
Yeah.
And that's it. And it's all first-person perspective.
So, again, playing a bit fast and loose with the whole horror tag. Not particularly horror necessarily.
Well,
but
it's quite scary to see someone essentially commit suicide. Nice. And
yeah.
That is what it is.
Yeah, that is true. Bag of bricks. yeah, I suppose so. Just I thought it was shot very well. So, yeah, that one stood out to me.
Yeah, now that one is kind of one of the more reality-based ones where it's not lots of gore or it's not farts, etc. It's very, very, yeah, that one and Eye for Ingrown, like I said, they kind of felt very realistic. So they kind of stood out a little bit, considering G for Gravity is quite funny because it comes in between F for fart and H for hydroelectric diffusion, which are like two of the sillier entries,
yeah.
Shall we say.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it can work against you depending on the context.
Yeah, placement is very important for these things. And, yeah, I wonder how they did work out who gets to go where. I'm sure there's a lot of politics involved.
Probably a lot of politics. Now, I also liked X for XXL, which is directed by Javier Jen, who directed Frontiers. That was quite a good idea. It's not very subtle at all about what it is. Its theme is literally right there for the whole short, and it did totally rip off the music from like the last 15 minutes of Requiem for a Dream, blatantly.
Yes, that's true, actually. I wondered where I'd kind of heard that.
It's
sort of
very,
thing.
Very similar. Yeah. And it is very, very similar to another short called Cutting Moments, which came out in the 90s. It's like an American short film, essentially about a woman who's in an unhappy marriage and to basically piss off her husband starts cutting bits of her body off.
Oh, gosh.
It's a bit more affecting than this, but I thought it was quite good.
Yeah, I would put that in the middle. Yeah, it was an all right idea. Nothing particularly groundbreaking. It was okay to me. Nothing amazing.
So, overall, I know you've obviously been on the show before. I'm going to ask slightly different questions now from maybe what we did on the Human Centipede show. So, overall, would you recommend the film? Just generally based on the quality of the film itself.
I would, especially obviously if someone has an interest in short films. Yes, definitely. I think it's quite a good one to watch with friends, actually, because you can kind of, people will enjoy different things. So there's a few of them that are quite good talking points. Some of them, as you said, are a bit more silly than others, so you can enjoy that together. I would recommend it as something to watch. It's a bit different to most things that you're going to watch, you know, your mainstream stuff. So, yeah, I think it's worth a watch.
I don't agree. I wouldn't recommend it because for an anthology film, there are way better anthology films out there than this. And as I said at the start of the show, the problem with this is it's too long. There's way too much in it. I think if you're with the wrong person, they'll probably lose interest.
That I would agree with, yeah.
And it's very inconsistent quality-wise. I would say there's like 5 to 7 of the 26 that I'd say are good, and there's a lot that are just all right or just a bit meh.
I think from an anthology, that those are fair points. I think from an anthology point of view, from around, if you're looking for something around, well, in the 2010s, I think the original VHS is better than this.
Yeah, the first two VHS films are much better than this, because with those kind of stories, because you've got like, let's say 15 or 20 minutes, you can do a bit more.
Yeah.
A lot of these are quite rushed. Some of them are okay. Some of them sort of are perfectly normal. Like Tea for Toilet, I think, is about the right kind of length and stuff like that. But a lot of them, it's just like, what am I going to do? And they just throw any old shit out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And plus, like $5,000. There's not really a lot you can really do with $5,000.
Clearly, toilet-related things is the answer.
Yes. Now, is it a good date movie or a bad date movie?
I think it's generally bad for two reasons. One, because some of the content is like the libido one, for example, I think would take a real certain type of person to enjoy that, or at least go along with the joke. I think a lot of people would just be thinking, what the hell is this? Secondly, as you said, it can be a bit boring as well. I don't think it's very good for a date, really. Start getting bored and nod off.
I agree. I don't think it's a very good date movie either. I think it might work as a Netflix and chill, because they might just get bored after about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Especially if they're not really into horror.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, the whole elf libido segment, because you've got sort of implied child sex, when masturbating with prosthetic leg. There is a lot of gore generally in the film itself, which might put up some people. There's nudity, there's implied animal cruelty. So obviously you've got the D for dogfight segment, which, would we say that's the best segment in of the 26?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I agree with that. Even though that is the best segment, you do have sort of a dog being punched and stuff like that. That might annoy people. And obviously you've got the kitten death as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Also, you've got another character who's a paedophile in a segment called Why for Young Buck.
Yeah, he looks very disturbing, that man. I don't know where they found him.
No super kick parties in this one.
No. Great casting. Whoever did the casting for that one, top job.
Yes, they did find a man who really looks like a paedophile. And then, yeah, like I mentioned a few times, there's all this scatological stuff. So in the Japanese shorts, you know, you've got F fart, you've got women farting, you've got women kissing each other a lot. You've got in Z, that segment, you've got, you know, a lot of kind of very, very sexual kind of stuff, particularly with women. K for klutz, you've got, that's a one we haven't mentioned, which was all right. Again, a woman shitting and then being attacked by her own shit and stuff like that.
Yeah, wasn't a fan of that one.
And R for removed, which is by the director of the Serbian film, does feature a doctor being killed by having his face pressed in like a shit, basically.
Yeah, bedpan.
A bedpan, yes. And then for miscarriage, which does feature a fetus, which has been aborted. So yes, lots of things that might not make it a very good date movie. From 1 to 5, how bad a date movie would you say it is?
I'd put it somewhere. Let's go with, I was going to say between 2 and 3. I'll go with 2. I'll assume that most people are not that sensitive about this type of thing. So there's nothing really in there that's super, super offensive, because even the stuff that's like the more risque content, none of it is explicit.
It's all off screen, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not like it's there in your face. Yeah, I agree with that.
You're not going to see anything that you don't see in EastEnders. Let's put it that way. Well, I think so. I haven't seen EastEnders for a few years. So.
Neither have I. I agree. 2 out of 5 on the bad date movie scale. So it's not the worst possible movie you could watch, but I certainly wouldn't recommend it as a date movie. However, if you would like to watch it as a date movie and you want to buy it on DVD or Blu-ray, it is available in America and in Europe. So in Region A and Region 1 from Magnolia Pictures, and Region B and Region 2 from Monster Pictures. And from what I understand on the set itself, it's got commentaries from various different directors who did the short films. Quite a lot of extras in there. So, yeah, if you're into your extras or if you're a fan of the film and you want to know more about it, then, yeah, that's how you would get it on DVD and Blu-ray.
God, imagine doing commentary on your 5-minute short film. You'd have to really rush through everything, wouldn't you? Like, introduce yourself, give a bit of background, talk about the film, all of the special effects. Really quick, oh, we're done. On to the next one.
Yeah, I imagine that's probably what they did. It would have to be like a round-robin system.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Like, right, next.
Yeah, in and out.
Cool. So I want to thank Tom Cannon for doing the show.
Thanks for having me on again, Greg.
That's all right. I'll have to have you on again very, very soon. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, I am at Worst Date Movies, at Worst Date Movies. If you have any really shit date movies that you want to recommend me, that's how you do it. And like I said, I want to thank you very much for listening to the show. I want to thank Tom for coming on. And I'll see you on the next episode for more of the Worst Date Movies Ever.
Bye.